The Epistle to the Philippians and the fourth chapter. And last week's text and this week, and God willing next week, they spring from the same thoughts, the same background. But this week I've got verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If you remember, last week it was verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of wants, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Paul is coming to the conclusion of his letter to the Philippian church. And I wonder how he felt as he came to the close of his letter and where his heart really went with these words. He genuinely did pray for the churches that he was involved with and remembered those people. He knew that they were in a difficult situation, that they, after his letter had been read, they still were in Philippi, they still remained there, and after they had read and reread, they still were in that same situation. So they needed to apply the grace of God where they were. It's so very easy. A Philippian might have said, if only I lived in Colossae, or if only I lived in Rome, or if only I lived in some remote village. But they lived there, and that is where God had placed them, and that is where God had established a church. And I find it a wonderful thing to think that there's a church in Philippi because God had ordained that there should be a church there. And exactly the same with us here. There is a church here because God had ordained that there should be a church here. But the situation there was a very difficult one. There was a great deal of suffering because of the faith and a great deal of hardship. And around them, a great deal of luxury and plenty and flitting from one pleasure to another and one form of entertainment to another. And so that it seemed rather hard on the Christians that they could not indulge in the way others were indulging. They couldn't behave in that way. And they indeed suffered because of the way that they lived. Yet they were a light in a dark place. And so in this last chapter, he just brings these three verses. And they rise up from the situation of their kindness. It was a kind church. I would say it was a very beautiful church. If you'd gone into that church without anybody saying anything to you, I'm sure you'd have felt a lovely atmosphere, that not only a spiritual one, but you felt that the presence of God was there, but that the people themselves were kindly disposed. It was that kind of church, and they had cared for him, and he refers to them on a number of occasions here when everybody else seemed to be full of their own activity and actually forgot about me, yet you didn't forget. And when you heard I was in prison, then you were concerned. Sometimes you were not able to send gifts. Other times you generously sent gifts, for which I thank. But I want you to know something. My peace does not depend upon situations or circumstances or things. He wants them to know that. And without being ungrateful in any way for their kindness, we looked at last week, he says, well, sometimes I am abased. Sometimes I have to go through great indignities and great suffering. And sometimes I go through great joys. But whether it's one or the other, really it is a matter of indifference to me. My state of heart remains the same. It's something I had to learn as a Christian, not something I automatically had as a Christian. It's something as a Christian I found that I was able to exercise. So he says, I have learned. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. That rare jewel of Christian contentment. And so that's if it is in adversity or in prosperity, whatever it may be, he says, well, if somebody says, are you feeling very down, Paul? Are you feeling miserable because you're in that? Well, I am in hard circumstances. I'm in prison. But if you're asking me if I'm discontented, if I'm angry, well, no, I can't say that because I am content. I have learnt in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now, there was that verse. Then this one that I'd like to look at this morning, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And then a similar kind of verse again, and yet there is a difference in verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The three of them, contentment, I can do all things, supply all my needs, the three of them are jewels. And in this last chapter, he gives these jewels to these Philippian Christians and says, there, do you know anything about this? And I'm asking myself this morning, how much do I know about this lovely jewel box in chapter 4? Christian contentment, Christian strength, and a Christian whose needs are supplied. Do we know anything of that? Or are we Christians that just live on the bare essential, know that we are converted, that we have an experience of the grace of God, but exercise very little many of the benefits that can be had in the Christian life? Now then, the verse that I'm looking at this morning is, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. My first heading is this. I search, how could I describe it? So this is how I've done it. An unparalleled statement. It is. It seems to be a very boastful one. I can do all things. I can do everything. Well, if I said that this morning, I feel I'd have to qualify it very quickly. It seems to be a very daring thing to say. But I'm going to stay on the daring part for a little while. I can do all things. Now then, Paul is saying this. Now, we looked at the background. He's saying, whether it is in poverty or in riches, I find that I'm able to cope, that I'm able to, in those places, not to be bitter in my spirit, but to be content. Indeed, he says, I can do all things. So we might examine and say, well, what does he mean by this? Well, there are other statements. There's one earlier on in this epistle where he says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Let's look at the part that applied to him, not the secret of it for a moment. That is that he could live or he could die. He could face life or he could face death. And he genuinely could. And so we are putting a situation like this to Paul. Now, as if you could look at this, Paul, and say, well, before you, the hymn that we sang, in every condition, Paul, do you think you'll cope? Oh, yes. I'll cope in every condition. In sickness. Supposing that your body is inflicted with a sickness that is a wearisome to you. And he calls it a thorn in the flesh. Do you think you can cope, Paul? Yes, said, you can name them if you like. No, I don't want to name them. There are so many sicknesses. I can. But supposing, Paul, that you did not have sickness, but you had health, and that you are very strong, do you think that you could cope without vanity, that it wouldn't go to your head? He said, yes. Even strength, yes, I would be able to say I could do that as well. Listen to this hymn. In every condition, in sickness, in health, in poverty's veil. Well, he has this in his background. In the time when, maybe when the Philippians were not able to help, and all the other churches were maybe in their ignorance, didn't know or were not mindful or full of their own problems, and they forgot him. And he was in poverty's veil. It's all right. I can do it. I can go through that valley. I can do it. Paul, you're a very remarkable person. Or abounding in wealth. Supposing suddenly you are surrounded with all the things that you could think of and all the luxuries and all the fine things of this world. Do you think you could go through that? Without becoming a different kind of person. Yes. I could do that as well. I can do all things. What about emotional upheavals? Or when your mind is in a turmoil with all sorts of anxieties rushed at you and information given to you. Yes, he says, I can. I know that my mind can be kept. He told us in the previous chapter. I know that my heart can be kept from being a tempest of anxieties, and that my mind can be stilled from any kind of worry or harassment that may come my way. You might say, well, this needs some explanation. But you see, he is not on his own. In the Epistle to the Hebrews, where it lists the believers in the Old Testament and links them with ourselves, and towards the end, it says these words about them, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, men and women of faith. And he aligns himself with them. Yes, he says, I can. I can do all things. I can go through disappointments, or I can go through encouragements. I can go through failure. I can go through success. I can go through sickness. I can go through health. I can go through poverty. I can go through wealth. I can do all things. Here's the hymn again. In every condition, in sickness, in health, in poverty's veil, or abounding in wealth, at home or abroad, on land, on the sea, as days may demand, shall thy strength ever be. What is his secret? If that sentence were on its own, we'd have to turn away and say, well, that kind of Christianity baffles me, because I cannot manage in poverty's veil. I cannot manage without getting vain when I'm abounding in wealth. I cannot cope with sickness. I cannot cope even when I'm health, I become too daring and so on. You say, well, we can't do it, Paul, if that were on its own. But of course it's not on its own. I can do all things through Christ. Now then, there are different versions here. Nothing alarming at all. Some leave Christ out. It is him through him. It is powerfully implied there. We know it does mean through Christ. And some have put a word in. This happens in many translations. But the word that is used in most of the translations, that word through, is not there at all. Find that disappointing? It's not there at all. And all the modern versions have it as well. And it's not there at all. It's another word. It's much more wonderful. I think through should be there, by the way, because it explains. But the word that's there is wonderful. It's in. Do you see it? I can do all things in him. That's the original. Isn't that beautiful? I can do all things in him. Of course, it's through his ability. We know that. But here, begin with, Paul is saying, listen, it is the position I'm in. The vantage point I am in. I am in Christ. I am in him. That's the miracle. And it's very, very wonderful. It is the relationship. We come again to what I've referred to many times, and it is in this epistle, what is true in the Christian. Not only is our position position spiritually right in the sight of God, that we are ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, but there is what we call a mystic union. He is in us and we are in him. It is a glorious thing. In him? In sickness? No, in him. In health? No, in him. In poverty's veil? No, in him. When riches abound? Not at all. In him. Always in him. That is our position. But let me not pass by without saying exactly what that means. We don't know. Sometimes we can be clear on it, maybe some that are not clear on it. And in a previous chapter, in chapter three, Paul says, verse 9, and to be found in him. There's our secret. To be found in him. Paul was all over the place before he became a Christian. He was religious, he was zealous, he was enthusiastic, he was keen, he was all those things. But he was all over the place until he found himself in Christ. And he describes there in that particular verse what it means to be in Christ. Now, to be in him this morning, there are some things that are not allowed if we are to be in Christ. And this is one thing that is not allowed. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. If I think I can say, well, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ and his cross and his death, but I also try, I also do my best, I'm not too bad, I come to chapel, I'm an evangelical, I'm this, I'm born again, use any description you like, and if you say that, not allowed. If you bring anything as a vanity, anything that you might say, I've got this, I'm this, I've done this, I've tried, I know that I'm a Christian and I've tried. If you immediately bring that, it works. Say, not allowed. You're only allowed in him, just as I am. Just as I am. A poor little wretched sinner who is immersed in the pardoning grace of Christ. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Self-righteousness, not allowed. What is then allowed? But that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. I am allowed a righteousness. But this righteousness is not my own. This righteousness is one that came from God to me. And it came to God from me when I applied and appropriated to myself by faith. And that very faith came from God. He gave me faith. He said, look, I'm going to give you something this day. I'm going to give you righteousness. And I'm going to take your unrighteousness away. And you'll need something. I'll give you faith. Because without faith, you'll not be able to receive it. So he gives me faith to believe. By grace I saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So when God approaches me with pardoning grace in Jesus Christ, and I see that Jesus died on Calvary for my sin, and I see that he lived a life, a perfect life in my place, then I cry out to God, and by faith I appropriate what God has for me. He removes my unrighteousness. He clothes me in the righteousness of Christ. I am in him. Are you there? That is the apostle's secret, to be found in him. There are many, many beautiful hymns that describe, I think in every hymn book, that hymnists have really delighted in writing hymns that describe being in Christ. Here is one we know well. I lift my heart to thee, Saviour divine, for thou art all to me. And I am thine. Is there on earth a closer bond than this? That my beloved's mine, and I am his. Thine am I by all ties, but chiefly thine. That through thy sacrifice thou, Lord, art mine. By thine own cords of love, so sweetly wound around me, I to thee am closely bound. To thee, thou dying lamb, I all things owe. All that I have and am, and all I know. All that I have is now no longer mine. And I am not my own, Lord, I am thine. I pray thee, Saviour, keep me in thy love. Until death's holy sleep shall me remove. So that to that fair realm, where sin and sorrow o'er, thou and thine own are one forevermore. It's a lovely hymn. In him, cords that bind us in a remarkable union, a mysterious union. I am there because I am a forgiven sinner. I bring nothing with me. My sin has been taken to Calvary. I bring nothing with me. So I find I am in him. It is essential to see it. Now we come to this verse. I can do all things in him, in that position, at that vantage point. Now look at the hymn that we were reading earlier on. In every condition, in sickness, in health, in poverty's veil, or abounding in wealth, at home or abroad, on land, on the sea, as days may demand, shall thy strength ever be. Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed. I am thy God, and will give thee, and still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand. What is that hymn saying? The same thing. He's saying, where are you? You are in Christ. And so I look at my circumstances through the eyes of my Savior. I look at my sorrows and look at my joys, at poverty or wealth, whatever it may be, from that vantage point. So we say, how do you feel? Is this affecting you? Well, to be honest with you, says Paul, the main thing that seems to be true about me is my position. I am in him. Do you see the secret? I am in him. Supposing a terrible disappointment had come, we can take one that came to his life, a person that had helped him and been a fellow working with him, a fellow worker in the gospel, a keen young man, and then this young man turns another way. And in these writings, Paul has to say, Demas, he says, no longer walks with me, for he has loved this present world. What a disappointment! What a disappointment in a world that is so willing to point a finger and to find fault. What a disappointment to him. You might say, how do you feel? Well, it is a very disappointing thing. I know the fact that he has gone. I realize where he has gone. I know that. But you're asking me, how do I feel? Well, this is my main feeling. I am in him. That hasn't taken me out of him. Or poverty or suffering hasn't taken me out of him. Or disappointment hasn't taken me out of him. My greatest emotion and experience is this, that I'm in him, so I can face life and death. Can we face death? We must prepare ourselves for that too. How does a person prepare? He settles himself with a contentment in Christ and leans almost physically in a way, and allows his heart and soul to lean upon the love and the grace of God, and recognizing that we are in him. And then lastly, an unlimited supply, an unparalleled statement, certainly, an unfailing Savior. He will never let us down. Well, I'm just remembering these words now. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake. That hymnist must have been quite special. There must have been quite a special experience to be able to say words like that. An unfailing Savior. Then lastly, an unlimited supply. You say, well, Paul, I'll ask you another question. I can see that you are in him and that through him this wonderful experience is yours. But I'll ask you something else. Is God a bit mean? Does he help you? Does he always give you sufficient help? And so we look at that. He says, I can do all things in him or through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, that can be changed. Again, there's no need. Who gives me strength, all sorts of translations here. And one very lovely one is this one. Who infuses strength into me. Now, that is in line with the in him. If I'm in him, I can well see that that word then, and that heartland of the word there, that not only he gives, he infuses. Is my position demands it. He infuses strength into me. It's as if he were injecting it into me. He infuses strength into me because of this vital union. So there are examples. In 1 Timothy 1, verse chapter 1, verse 12, he says this, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." He said, one big task was mine, that a rebel and a persecutor like myself should become a Christian minister, a person who had seen people put to death and had spoken against them and breathed out threatenings against them. For me to be a minister of the gospel was something very overwhelming. So what has he done? And here is the verse in Timothy. He has enabled me. I have been able to do it. I'm able to say, yes, the position held, he enabled me. He supplied that grace that is able to do it. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 17, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, that the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." He refers there to a time of peril. Yes, they were perilled, but in times of peril, where panic would normally strike, he, because I was in him, he infused strength into me. He strengthened me. I became a giant of strength. He did that to me. And then in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee." I did ask him for something, and people have tried to speculate about this thorn. I don't think there's any point in speculating what it was. Maybe Paul felt it was a bit of a disadvantage, and it would be an improvement to be without it. "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Now look at that picture. You might say, if I were without this disability, then I would be a better servant for the Lord. Then, God, if that is your thinking, you're bringing some of your own strength in. No. I'll leave you with your disability, but I'll give you grace to cope. Excellence, says Paul. I rejoice in my disabilities if it means that you will strengthen me. Do you see his argument? He's absolutely convinced of the power of God. So he said, "I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And then in verse 10 he goes to say, "For when I am weak, then am I strong." What strength is this? It is the infused strength of God. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." How does it work in us? Commune with God. Pray. Read your scriptures. Submit your whole character to be scrutinized by God. Be willing to change. Be willing to be changed. Be willing for the rough edges. If you're awkward, difficult, touchy, whatever it is, be willing for that to be removed. Besetting sins, be willing to turn from them, whatever they may be. Be willing that grace might refine our hearts. Be willing for that. Have in our heart a generous cooperation with God. Delight in him. Think about his person. Meditate upon the person of Christ. Delight upon the beauty of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Appreciate your position that you're in him. Then when trouble, whatever it may come, as an avalanche, hold tight. Of course we're human. We sway a little. And then we remember, I am in him. And he will infuse strength into you. And we'll be able to say, like the apostle, "I can do all things in him who gives me strength." I sometimes wonder at the circumstances of people who wrote hymns. I wish they had in brackets sometimes why they wrote. This one by William Williams. "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Open thou the crystal fountain whence the healing streams doth flow. Let the fiery, cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises I will ever give to thee. Let us pray.